And we are a little under a month away from the 2018 Olympics in Pyeongchang, South Korea. And as we make our way to February 8th, we're going to be checking in with athletes from Team USA, starting today with loser Erin Hamlin. This will be her fourth and likely final Olympic season. In 2014, she became the first female American loser to medal at any Winter Olympics, earning the bronze. She's been in the world's top 10 for the past 11 years. She joins us by Skype from Oberhof, Germany, where she just placed 8th in a World Cup race there. Erin, talk about that first. You're focused on these World Cup races right now, but you're going to be in the Olympics. Where do you put that in your head?
It's definitely hard not to keep them from creeping up into the forefront, but for the most part, it's really important for us in these last three races to have decent results because it can affect our seeding points going into the games, which impacts where we will be in the order.
Talk about that. Seeding. Who goes first, second, third? Why is that important?
Yeah, so when we race, you obviously want the best ice, and the best ice will happen right out of the gate. So the way that they set it up in races is the people within the top 12 will be in what we call the A seed, and they will actually re-spritz, which is a quick layer of water on the track, so kind of like a Zamboni at a hockey rink, mm-hmm. but people just do it with hoses. They'll do that before the A seed goes, so we'll get kind of like a refresher of the ice, which is pretty important.
Yeah, because as you said, you want the best ice. Look, we just want to note, because it's always worth noting, you were born into luge land, upstate New York, and it's surprising to remember that the first run, was only built in the U.S. in Montana in 1965, the first artificial track for the 1980 Olympics at Lake Placid, another built in Salt Lake for the 2002 Games. This is such a relatively new sport for the U.S. Did you take it up because it's right in your backyard there at Lake Placid?
You know, it's funny, I didn't because I was close. It made it a lot easier to continue on in the sport. They do a series called the Slider Search. When I was a kid, it was the Verizon Slider Search, and they basically put kids on a really basic sled with rollerblade wheels at like a city park or just on a city street, and they do these clinics all over the U.S. And so they did one of those in Syracuse, New York. My dad worked for Verizon at the time, so had seen an ad in like a company newsletter. And then once I showed potential from there, I got invited to go to Lake Placid. And being close made it very possible for me to continue on because some kids would have to fly every time, and that wouldn't have been something my family would have been able to do. So thankfully, I was conveniently located to the track. I think I had seen the sport before, but didn't really know much about it and really didn't know what I was getting myself into when I tried out.
Well, thankfully for us, you did, and Lake Placid was right there. But let's talk a little bit about it. I mean, we know you sit in a sled face up, feet pointed downhill. It seems insane to many of us, but how do you manage the sled?
Luge is pretty unique in that there's really no other sport or activity that you can take the skills from and put them into being a really successful luge athlete. That's one reason why we start kids so young. There's a lot of intricate details and learning a lot of, you know, basic physics on the track, you know, going down and the way that gravity pulls you through different corners. There's essentially an ideal line that's imaginary that goes from point A to point B, start to finish down the track. And our goal is to be within an inch of that. And using the corners and the pressure in the corners from gravity and everything to try and steer as little as possible. Because every time we steer, it's digging the runners into the ice, and it does cause more friction, slows us down a little bit. And we're doing all that while laying back and mostly not looking and trying to be as relaxed as possible.
Yeah, you have to be almost calm when you do it.
Yeah.
How do you do that? Because, look, in 2010, a loser died going 90 miles per hour on a training run at the Winter Olympics in Canada. Just a terrible, terrible moment. And we understand that forced some track changes to slow things down.
Yes.
Can you even be conscious of how fast you're going and still remain calm?
Yeah, you know, some days you can definitely tell how fast you're going. A lot of times when you get offline and you make a couple of mistakes, it's way more apparent. But oddly enough, your body and your brain kind of get used to it and can be comfortable. It takes a long, long time. It took me, I feel like, until only 5 or 6 years ago. But that's when you can start to relax more and have better position, better aerodynamic position on a sled, which will mean you're going blind a lot. But yeah, it's definitely harder some days than others. And even now, like, we just finished a training session here, and it's not a track that I've always been super comfortable on. So I was not going blind, and I was definitely a little more tense than normal.
Is it mostly a mind game? Or, I mean, I'm assuming you're an athlete. Are you also lifting weights and stuff to have the strength?
There's definitely a strength component. At our start, we're actually seated, and we pull off of a set of handles and then paddle with spiked gloves on the ice anywhere from 3 to 5 or 6 times. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of where our strength training is focused around, a lot of upper body, core. And then when we're going down the track, we do a lot of neck strengthening because, you know, sometimes we're hitting up to 5 or 6 G's in corners. So we have to be able to hold our heads up, which we can't always do. There are some times where we call it losing your head, which is a little not too pleasant sounding, but it's basically just when the G forces get too strong and our heads get pulled back so we can't see anything.
Well, there. And do we mention there's no brakes?
Sounds great.
Yeah, right.
No brakes.
Look, you won the 2009 world title at Lake Placid, becoming the first U.S. woman to win a world title. You took the world title in sprint luge last winter, and as we said, a medal last Olympic season. How do you approach this? Do you think, and this year I'm going to get a silver or a gold? I mean, or do you not think about it?
It's pretty interesting. You know, it's, I think, impossible for an athlete, especially week in and week out, when I know if I slide as best I can and to what I'm capable of, I can compete for a medal. Like, that's something that's realistic. It's just a matter of doing it when it counts and having 2 good runs, and for the Olympics, 4 good runs on the day of. So for me at this point, you know, I've already accomplished more than I ever imagined I would. I've been in the sport longer than I thought I would. So yeah, obviously I'm going to gun for a medal. I'm going for it, but it's not going to make or break my career whether or not I walk away with one from this Olympics. But yeah, it's just, I want to go and enjoy it and, know that I left it all on the ice. And in my career, I did that and I just have fun. You know, that's the biggest thing for me.
This is the end.
Yeah. This will be my last Olympics, last international race, last go around. Yeah. It's been a long, fun, exciting road, but, while I'm still healthy and youngish and ambitious, I want to take that and put it towards other fun adventures and things.
Well, plus you're getting married this summer in upstate New York, which, how lucky are you?
I am.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm very, very happy for that next chapter.
Yeah, at Remsen, New York. Erin Hamlin, who will be competing in luge for the U.S. at the upcoming Winter Olympics. Erin, best to you in everything.
Thank you very much.